Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the program. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for joining me. Today's topic is about how to design your own life plan. I was inspired to do this program when I recently saw again one of my favorite quotes by Jim Rohn. If you don't design your life plan, chances are you'll fall into someone else's plan, and guess what they have planned for you? Not much. He's so right. So today, I want to stir you up. I want to get your brain juices going. I want to stir you into thinking of what you want to do with your life. I mean, many of us feel like amoebas in the stream of life, following the current, hoping it leads somewhere we like. And too often, it doesn't. And why do I know this? Because for more than two decades, I've been helping people in career transition, and oh boy, do I hear about it. Most of the time, the current is created in reality by well-meaning parents and teachers, like at the beginning of a career path. Sometimes this is more pervasive than it should be, but most of the time, it's well-meaning. I mean, for example, Junior doesn't know what he wants to do, and he seeks advice. He wants to please his elders. He just goes along with their guidance, and it's like one client told me. He said, when I was in high school, I was good at math and science, and my teachers and my parents said I should be an engineer. So I did it. I went to school, excelled at it, got a career in it. And then he was sitting there with me telling me, 14 years I've been doing this, and I realize it's not really what I want to do at all. And at the time, he told me he had some ideas of what he wanted to explore, but he didn't know exactly what it was, but he just knew it wasn't being an engineer. Now, there's nothing wrong with this. As a mom, I know that I relish the opportunity to share my insights, my wisdom, my advice with my daughter. I mean, and any young person who might benefit from my experiences. But I sure hope I haven't been going about it like some of the parents I've heard about from my clients. What I mean is when a parent is fearful of the choice that a young adult might make, and then they use coercion or flat-out bribery to influence or force a decision. For example, I remember one client coming to me. She wanted to make a career change. She was miserable after about 20 years being a physical therapist, and she told me that she had originally wanted to follow a career in forestry management or parks and recreation administration, but her father was appalled. Her father called her studies frivolous, and she deeply admired her father, and she wanted to please him, so he successfully guilted her into changing her major. She chose physical therapy, and he was happy with her choice of her life and career plan, but she wasn't. And eventually she came to resent it very much over time. But you know what? This does remind me of a different take on this. A friend who once told me that her father was concerned about her physical safety when he offered her a deal she couldn't refuse. And hey, I can't blame a parent for wanting his daughter to be safe. I mean, she didn't blame him either. But what happened was that she was about to graduate from high school. She told him she wanted to join the Peace Corps. He kind of freaked out a little bit, and he said, no, no, I don't want you going someplace dangerous in the world. So he offered to fully pay for her bachelor's degree if she studied business rather than going off to the Peace Corps. And she said, yeah, she, like I said, an offer she couldn't refuse. So she accepted his offer. But interestingly, my friend, who is fearless and who is clearly not afraid to walk to the beat of her own drum, she still joined the Peace Corps anyway after she earned her degree, and she loved it. She had great adventures working in West Africa. Talk about choosing your own life plan. Talk about choosing your own life adventures. So there you go. What else, though? Sometimes it's really not others who direct the current of the stream we're in. Sometimes we just let stuff happen. No one's there to tell us what they think we should do. It's really up to us, and we haven't a clue. We bounce around trying to figure out stuff. I know I did. Sometimes we make a choice, though, that leads to another choice, and then before we know it, our choices, our commitments, like having a family, for instance, have us kind of duty-bound, and we're set on a course that we have to travel for a while. And sometimes the changes and things that happen and the choices we make affect us permanently. But here's the thing. You always do have a choice. You can always make a plan or a modified plan if necessary, because at the end of the day, it's really all up to you to take the reins and make a life plan. And the good news is that you can start right where you are. Yes, I mean, actually, where you are is the only place you can start from anyway. So here's what you need to do to start making a life plan. You think about all parts of your life, not just your job or your career. Look at your personal life, your family life, and look at your friendships. So how do you want to make a difference in the community? And here's a great big clue about what your life plan should include. Are you do you find yourself complaining about a change you'd like to see, especially like in your community, but you don't want to get involved because you're caught up in the day-to-day distraction? Big clue that you should have a plan to change that or to move forward and get out of the day-to-day distractions. Make it happen. Or how about this? There's something you'd like to learn. You want to expand your mind. Time to make a plan, and this can go into your life plan. But here's how it works. So let's just kind of really look at this from a big picture level. I mean, how it all comes together. This is how it works. First, you have a thought. It can just stay a thought, and there it is, a thought. If that thought gains strength, if it moves into what we might call an idea is a thought that entails more repetitive or intricate contemplation, and you can't get it off your mind. It pops into your head out of the blue again and again, maybe while you're in the shower. You know, I mean, that seems like where a lot of people get their ideas, right? So this idea or this thought is gaining strength and becomes an idea. An idea can progress, if it's persistent, into what we call a dream. And a dream can turn into a goal, but to be truly called a goal, it needs a lot more attention than simply being there hanging around in your head. A goal is something you write down, that you might talk about with others. A goal is something you actually give life to by forming an actual plan of executing it with real timelines. And, you know, you make a commitment to when those actions will happen, when you're going to make things happen. So the thought that became an idea, that became a dream, and then a goal, it can become a reality at that point. But it won't get anywhere if it's stuck in the phase of thought, idea, or dream. And it won't get anywhere unless you convert it from a dream to a goal with a plan to make it happen. So what do you have in your brain right now? A passing thought that wants more life so that it develops into an idea? Or do you have an idea that's really a dream now, but it's one that you've been harboring? Like a tall ship docked in the harbor. It has beautiful sails. It'll be beautiful out on the water sailing, but we never know because it's sitting there in the harbor. And if that's the case, you know what to do, don't you? If I keep going with this analogy, it's like you need to get out the charts and the tools for your ship, for your tall ship, and you need to plot a course and an estimated timeline of where your journey is going to take you and how long it's going to take. But, you know, life is busy. And the truth is that you want to incorporate something into your daily life that you haven't previously made room for. When you do life planning, think about it. When you're trying to get out of the day-to-day and you want to put something in your daily life that you haven't already done or you haven't made room for in your schedule, you're going to be hard-pressed to suddenly start doing it unless you have a plan. So let's talk about that. Before I get into some ideas about life planning, I want to talk about goal-achieving planning. Let's talk about what three major things are involved in developing a goal-achieving plan to move something out of the realm of dream into reality. Number one, you need to write it down. I know you think you have this great idea, you have this great goal in your head, but I'm telling you, writing it down makes it real rather than just being something in your imagination. Do you know that only 2% of Americans ever write down their goals? And that means that the vast majority of Americans are walking around with dreams in their heads, but they really don't have goals because if it's still in their head, it means they don't have a plan to achieve it and execute the plan. The next step is to break it down. So write it down, then break it down. And what I do is figure out the resources I'm going to need. I might have to do calculations if it's applicable. I definitely determine possible timelines and due dates for different tasks that will be involved, so breaking it down into the bite-sized tasks that I have to do. I find that this gets you motivated to begin. It gives you a sense of urgency to keep going. It helps you monitor your progress toward reaching the goal, which is really good for some of us who need, you know, like, atta girl, atta boy, keep going. Anyway, take that big end goal and break it down into bite-sized, realistic steps. And speaking of realistic steps, that leads me to number three, which is be realistic. If it's not realistic, it'll cause you a lot of stress. For example, think about what would happen if you don't reach the goal by a certain deadline that you set for yourself. Do you need to build in a buffer of time? So if possible, you might want to allow yourself the ability to reset your timelines as you go, because being realistic is necessary. So when you're in the idea stage, you might think this is what you need to do, and as you get along into the plan, you start realizing, this might not be realistic. So you have to reset your realistic goals sometimes. So anyway, take your goals, make a plan by writing it down, breaking it down, and being as realistic as possible. But I know you might be thinking, gee, Angela, have a plan for my life? I like it. But honestly, I'm drawing a blank. What if I don't have any ideas or dreams to start off with? This is true. This can happen. And that's what I want to cover next. I've come up with a systematic way of designing a life plan for yourself that covers the various big picture areas of your life. It's meant to draw your thoughts out of these about these areas. So if you've got some ideas, you've got some dreams, great, go ahead. Get into the goal-achieving plan, action plan. Write it down, break it down, be realistic, put it on the calendar, get going. But if not, you're like sitting there going, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I'm just doing the day-to-day, and I'm in the thick of my life, and I need some help with just kind of coming up and looking at what do I want for my life? Let me stop and think about that. That's what this tool is for. This is what the system that I've come up with is for. It's meant to draw your thoughts out about these areas and start putting some goals, help you figure out what goals to have. So next I want to share that life planning approach with you. But before I do, let's take a quick break here, just a couple of minutes, and I'll be back with you. Enjoy the music, and I'll talk with you soon. Design Your Own Life Plan on Be Radiant Radio. I want to thank Jeff Harvey and Chris Martin of Purple Planet for that excellent piece of music. It's called Arabian Nights. All right, so like I said before the break, we're going to talk about something that I came up with to help clients that I've served in the past who were stuck on how to get started designing their own life plans. And this isn't just about career, but it is kind of a place where I've started from with people, and it's a systematic approach that I've come up with that addresses the big picture of your life. It breaks it down, though, into these easier-to-manage components. I call it the life planning compass because there are four major needs that you have in life, And each of the four major needs represents a cardinal point on the compass. So north, south, east, and west. Those are called cardinal points. So just to kind of put some context, this is a simplification of the hierarchy of needs pyramid that was developed by psychologist Abraham Maslow. Maslow envisioned human needs as a sort of stepladder, and he put it into a pyramid model. So when you take care of what's at the base of the pyramid, safety, for example, and bodily needs, then you can focus on what's above that on the pyramid, next step up, which is love and belonging, esteem, and then ultimately self-actualization, which is at the top of the pyramid. This is when you're engaged in satisfying your need to achieve your full potential. Now, while keeping in mind this Maslow model, I thought it would be good to advise clients about how to simultaneously review these needs and look at all of these needs when they're making decisions. So I wanted to give them equal value in a visual model that would cause my clients to think of these things all at once rather than accept them only in this linear way. So that's how I came up with a life planning compass. It shows these needs in a sort of circular fashion. It simplifies them and makes them kind of more equal. So I've maintained the integrity, though, of the hierarchy, because you'll see when you look at it, I do have a model of this that I will put so you can see it when you're viewing this this podcast. And that is where you can see that there's a north cardinal point, which is that it's kind of equal to the self-actualization in the pyramid. So it's what Maslow would call the identifying, that what people would be thinking about would be their full potential. So now the tricky thing with this, though, and the reason why I think it's important to put it in kind of more of a circular fashion, look at things around a circle and there's not a beginning and an end, or a linear from the base up to the top kind of thing like the pyramid, is that the other needs often, in my observation, they often overlap. And so what people identify as what makes them feel like they're working in their full potential, sometimes they're not entirely separate, and there's an overlap in these. I have lots of anecdotal evidence from clients who have really talk about the values of these various components, that Maslow, he might put them in the middle of the pyramid or even on the bottom rungs of the pyramid, but what they tell me is that what it makes them feel like is this need for the self-actualization, especially in regards to their career. So in other words, each of the other needs has the possibility of standing alone as a need, but each has the possibility of being integral to the self-actualization need being met too. So hopefully that makes sense. So there's a lot of bleed over. Anyway, all that being said, let me walk you through the life planning compass components, and you'll see what I mean. I'll tell you what I mean by each one of these. And I want to also give you, later on, I'm going to give you a technique for how to use it and design in your life plan. But first, let's talk about the components. So the cardinal points of the compass, first up, is the north position. It's the spiritual need. Now, this need doesn't necessarily have to pertain to religion. It just means it's what you need in order to feel like you're making a difference. Again, in my opinion, this corresponds to the Maslow's self-actualization need. Now, in the south position is where I've put the physical needs. So that's still somewhat similar to at the bottom of the pyramid, right? Sometimes I call this the fiscal need, especially when I'm referring to career, because a lot of times we're thinking about money, we're thinking about career and job and that sort of thing. But, of course, if you look at this, it corresponds to Maslow's hierarchy, bottom pyramid needs. Now, east and west are the mental and emotional needs. Maslow would probably say that these are the esteem and love and belonging needs. Now, that explains the four cardinal points or needs in the life planning compass. In order to use the model for life planning, what I suggest you do is to use each of the four needs to determine goals and direction that you want to go in three main areas of your life. So complementary to this, you have the four needs. You need to look at three main areas of your life. Now, the number one area would be your personal life, and this would mean that we're talking about the goals that you would have for the various roles that you have in your life, like family and romantic relationships. And this would also be about the relationship you have with yourself. to your personal life. When it comes to the friendship roles, however, that would fall under your next area, your social life. But social life isn't just also about friendships. It's also about how you want to spend your leisure time. And it could also include your goals about showing up in your community, as in how, you know, doing community service, philanthropic work, that kind of thing. And then the third area of your life is your professional life, which, of course, includes goals for your job, career, business, retirement, etc. So to do your life planning, you would use the life planning compass to guide you through these three areas of your life. So I want to walk you through this so you can see what I mean about how you can take the four needs and use those to guide you through these areas and setting goals. So first off, let's look at the spiritual need. Again, your spiritual direction goals don't necessarily pertain to your religious goals, but of course they can if you'd like them to. To most people, what really lies underneath this cardinal point is determining how they make a difference. Some people might go so far as to tie that into their mission statement or their life purpose statement. The bottom line is that you would want to examine how you make a difference in the personal, professional, and social areas of your life. So, for example, personal. My goal might be to improve my ability to listen to inner guidance and intuition. Like, this is about my personal relationship with myself. And actually, that is one of my ongoing goals. That's an ongoing goal of mine. Okay, social, you would take your spiritual need and look at your social life. And since my personal mission involves personal empowerment, I might have the goal to stop complaining when I'm with my friends, to come up with empowering solutions with and for them. So that could be a goal that I have. The professional, it might be similar to my social spiritual goal. Maybe when a colleague starts to complain, my goal would be to encourage them to find a solution or to help them find one. Okay, so that's the make a difference need. Now let's look at the emotional need. Your emotional direction goals might be interpreted two ways. You could examine where you want your relationships to go in your personal, professional, and social areas of your life, or you could also examine the inner dialogue or the inner feelings you have, meaning how would you like to feel about your personal, professional, and social areas of your life. Here's some examples of how I might look at this need using these three areas, and I'll focus on the relationship aspect. So personal, I want to be a better listener when I'm with my daughter, and I don't want to give advice unless she asks. Social, schedule regular lunches and get-togethers with friends to stay in touch. Professional, take initiative with strategic partners. Ask them what they need. Schedule meetings to find out. Take measures to strengthen those relationships. Okay, so next up is the mental need. I'd also like to think of this as like directing your intellectual or educational goals. So basically, your mental direction goals have to do with how you want to personally grow your intellect, how you want to educate your mind, how you want to increase your professional acumen and skills. Maybe from a social perspective, you could analyze how your social life, such as community service, volunteering, social networking experiences, all that kind of thing, how all that enhances your skills and adds to your mental growth as well. So here's how that might look. Personal. Take a cooking class and learn to cook a new type of cuisine. How about Greek food, right? Social, get a group together and schedule a painting party class. Actually, I really should add that one to my list. That sounds like fun. Professional, read that leadership book a friend recommended. And last but not least, the fourth cardinal point on the life planning compass is physical. Naturally, your physical goals might pertain to your physical body, but there are fiscal or financial goals you could look at, too, that could be related. And so from the professional perspective, this might be your income. From a personal perspective, would you like to have investments, retirement funds, et cetera? From a social perspective, maybe you could set goals that would describe how you'd spend money or raise money for social activities or how you would make donations to charities. So if you have a long-term goal to be a philanthropist, how would you achieve that? You need to set goals for that. So here's what I mean. Personal, it could be something about your body, you know, your physical well-being. Walk a number of miles every week. Make organic food choices at the grocery store. Save money for self-nurturing, a self-care spa treatment. A social goal in this area could be that you pick a cause and maybe you decide you're going to make a quarterly donation of X amount to a particular cause every quarter. Professional, like I said, this could be financial, but let's talk about the physical and how you might take care of yourself professionally physically. How about set the clock to take a break from working on the computer every 3 hours? And so you're taking care of yourself physically. Okay, so that brings us through the life planning compass and how it's supposed to help you come up with goals. And at this point, there's really, you know, maybe you still have just ideas and dreams that you'd like to have come true. And if you want to make them come into reality, you have to make the action plan. You need to energize those goals that you want to focus on and bring them into reality. And if you would really, let's think about this. If you'd rather not focus on, in this case, I have three per each, so four times, so 12 goals. If you'd rather not focus on 12 goals, you can break things down even more, and maybe you could space them out over time. Maybe only focus on three goals for each quarter of a year. Now, that's what I would call very low pressure. At least it is for someone like me who's always working on a bunch of goals all at once. I'm not kidding. I mean, 12 goals per quarter would be like three goals per quarter for me would be practically nothing. But that's me. What works for you, then do that. So the point is that you need to pick what it is that you're most excited about doing, whether it's all of the goals you've come up with, more goals than this, or less of them, whatever. You need to figure out what you want to do, and then you need to figure out what you need in order to manifest the goal, make a plan for that goal, and then be sure to commit to the dates that you want to accomplish the goal, and so on. And that's how you design your life plan. And just like that, wow, our time for today is coming to an end. So let me go ahead and wrap up. Before I go, let me tell you about the next program I'll be doing on September 6th. I'm calling it Your Life at the 30,000-Foot View. And that's just what it sounds like. We're going to take you from the ground level where you live daily, and we're going to talk about specific techniques to get you thinking and acting on your big picture ideas. Because it's one thing to know about a life planning tool like we've discussed today so that you can dream up some possible goals for your life. But it's another entirely different thing to actually implement it. And so this is such a big topic, and I only had so much time today to cover this. I really want to keep this conversation going. And because I really want you to take what we're talking about today and I want you to practically apply it. I want you to join me next time so we can go more into this. And I've really got some, not only some good other ideas for you, but I'm looking forward to telling you about what other big thinkers like Bill Gates and Sarah Blakely have in common and how you can do what they do for your own life. Okay, so that's it for today. Let me thank you for tuning in for this program, Design Your Own Life Plan. I also want to send a thank you out there to Doom Dance and Purple Planet for our music today. And please use the resource links to check out the websites for these musicians and see other program information related to today's topic. If you're interested in my books and programs, if you want to get connected to me through Facebook and Twitter, feel free to check me out at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. In the meantime, you can find me here doing live broadcasts of Be Radiant Radio every first and third Sunday. It's a labor of love, each and every program I do for you here. I love giving you information and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. So I hope you'll go for it. Your potential and shine.